You're listening to a podcast from Legal Support Network. To hear more podcasts from us and our network partners, why not go to www.legalsupportnetwork.co.uk/podcasts. This podcast, recorded at LSN's Legal Practice Management Conference in May 2012, features Alan Cousins, Practice Director for Southampton firm Paris Smith. In the podcast, Alan outlines how SME law firms can use technology to be much more efficient and when they might want to outsource IT altogether.
And I'm not an expert in IT, and I don't think with the scale of the world, the way it works and the challenges, we can really be an expert in any one facet of running the law firm. I think we've got to be able to balance all of the plates which represent all the different component parts of the business and keep them nice and balanced. And I think IT is one of those plates, and I think increasingly it's getting to be quite a big plate. And if it's balancing nice and straight, you can go on for a while and manage all the other plates. But if the IT plate starts to wobble, it's one of those plates that tends to wobble everything else as well at the same time. So I think we've got a vested interest in making sure that we give due attention to it. What I'm going to cover is emerging new technology. You know, how on earth can we spot it? Finding the technology that really adds value, the right level of investment when we do find it, and then securing a return on that investment. So if you come into the legal market with a blank sheet of paper, as a lot of the ABSs are doing, they'd approach IT perhaps in a very different way. But just to get you interacting a little bit, perhaps you can put your hands up if you recognise your IT structure as like this. You've got a data room somewhere in your office with servers. There's perhaps a couple of on-site guys that you employ in-house to manage it, and then you have network cables throughout the building attached to your PCs, printers, photocopiers, scanners. That is starting to change, as I'm sure a lot of you are aware. The next step is to put all of your servers, what I call tin, if you like, and that paraphernalia in the hands of an expert company who've got a whole team of people that can look after it. You own it, and they look after it for you. They host it. They've got the firewall, security protection, and then you've got the World Wide Web or ISDN cables connecting that with your, perhaps more like dumb terminal than PC users. Anyone using hosted IT arrangements? Yeah, good. Not so many. And of course, what everyone's talking about is the next step, the cloud, which is basically you don't own any of the tin. It's a massive centre that all of the operators' clients tap into. It's virtualised. You don't have to worry about any of that. And through the internet, you're connected most likely wirelessly to your laptops, your mobile phones, copiers. But there are dangers in going for these new platforms. It's a big thing to arrange, as those who've moved from one to the other will no doubt know better than I do. It's difficult to know sometimes from where we sit what's the right thing to do and when's the right time to do it. And this really is to illustrate what I mean. There's a lot to be thinking about. If you haven't already gone hosted or to the cloud, you might be thinking about virtualizing your servers. Basically, that's to take the traditional stack of servers, which, depending on how big you are, might be 3, 5, 10, 12, 17, 20 servers. Quite a complicated stack to look after. Mind-boggling to you and I, not to the IT manager, because he loves that sort of thing. And reducing it down to what might be 1, 2, or 3 powerful servers with special, what they call VMware, to use those 3 servers with virtualized software, much more simpler to look after, uses up much less power, and can be largely looked after remotely. Wireless technology is being introduced now more widely. People are a bit suspicious of its security and everything at first, because if you have wires trailing all over your building, makes it very difficult to restructure, move people around sometimes, or open up new offices. Is anyone using what they call thin client? Basically, that replaces the traditional PC, the box that takes a lot of looking after, jam-packed with stuff, quite expensive, uses up a lot of power. With the Citrix environment, you can now replace that with a very small box. I think they use up as much power as a light bulb. And the beauty of it is that it's not very expensive. And if it goes wrong, you don't need an IT genius to fix it. Someone in your general office will have a stack of them in the corner of the room and will be able to walk up, unplug the broken one and plug in a new one, and maybe even throw the old one away. You don't have experts looking after calculators now. If one breaks, you throw it away and general office will give you another one. And that's how some of this technology is starting to move forward. I'm sure we've all got smartphones now, but which do you use? Do you use Android? Do you go for the iPhone? How much do you resist the pressure from people that say, I only want this, I only want that? And that started to happen with iPads and tablets. And that brings me on to something else. BYOD, buy your own device or bring your own device. Recognizing that a lot of this technology now is used remotely is very personal. Whether you like a BlackBerry, whether you like an iPhone, an iPad. And some of the bigger firms, maybe some of the smaller firms, aren't saying, here's your laptop, here's your mobile phone. They'll give you a budget, say £500, and say, buy what you want, buy what you like to use, and we'll connect it to our systems, and then after that, you're responsible for it. Bit of an unusual concept for some of us, but apparently, you know, that's working in some environments, and it saves individuals having, you know, their personal kit and their work kit. It sort of starts to merge into one for convenience. Telecommunications. A lot of us probably still have quite a big stack of equipment just running our traditional telephone exchanges. And it's a big decision when and how much should you spend to completely upgrade that and transform it. Multifunctional devices. One of the complications for IT teams can be managing a whole suite, a whole group of laser printers. They jam, they go wrong, and it's a big distraction for what are skilled technicians to go and sort out, you know, photocopiers. They're very expensive with drums and toners. You can replace them with multifunctional devices that can be managed by a third-party expert company. They charge you per page that you print. It's cheaper than a laser printer. They've got a good quality scanner. My IT team used to say that they spent most of their time repairing printers that secretaries had torn the back off of, because they could never work out how to properly open the door to unjam it, so they tended to rip all the other panels off. Then we come on, that's just the equipment side, we come on to the applications, the software. Massive array, lots of tempting alternatives, and I'm not mentioning any of these brands because I like them. Big Hand is obviously digital dictation, we don't use Big Hand, but I guess nearly everyone would be on that now. What's next? Dragon, speech recognition. I think about 12, 15 years ago, this came up and everyone thought, wow, spent a lot of time and tore most of our hair out trying to make it work, and then thought it's not going to work. And I think it put a lot of us off, for good almost. But believe you me, it's getting better. It's coming back. The PCs now, all the Citrix networks, bring you so much processing power that they're much cleverer than they used to be, and it doesn't take as long for the system to recognise your voice and your speech. So I think that at some point, nearly everything we do will be voice, but when that might happen, I don't know. Updating your basic packages. Microsoft have a habit of bringing out new versions every so often. When? You know, when do you invest in that? When do you put changes in that might mean retraining, getting all your templates converted and all that sort of thing. CRM, maybe not everyone has a client relations management database, but increasingly it's the only way really to recognise that apart from staff, the most important asset you have is all your client information. And in most firms, without something like this, it's in all the heads of the partners and the lawyers. And that important resource is just completely fragmented. But again, not a cheap and easy thing to get in, especially into the culture. I put this up not knowing that most of the event was hosted, was supported by Iris, but Iris are a big competitor of LexisNexis. And I'd put that up not because I favour their products, but Iris and LexisNexis have been consolidating the market. They've been investing in lots of applications, and actually it's shrinking the market down into Iris and LexisNexis as being two main players. And for us, we have to try and decide, when we put a lot of investment and time behind these products, is it going to be the front runner? Is it sustainable? You know, who remembers WordPerfect? Yeah. MS-DOS. Will it be better than Windows? Who remembers Lotus 1-2-3? That's the sort of thing we have to be very careful of. And where we sit, it's not easy, is it? You know, everything sounds good, everything looks good. SharePoint. Does anybody use SharePoint? Is it good?
Yeah.
Yeah. Someone told me it's like plasticine. You can't just take it out of the box and expect it to do everything. You've got to mould it and shape it and really understand what you're dealing with. But it's becoming a big thing in document management. And if you're not using SharePoint, then maybe you're using other forms of document management. Has anyone heard of Peppermint? This is an attempt, I think, and I think it's still pretty new. I'm not sure how well tried it is, to come up with something that does everything, a one-stop solution: practice management, CRM, document management, case management, everything. And this has been designed to work through the cloud. Video conferencing. Does anyone see demand from business or private clients for video conferencing? Hands up. Why? I think we should expect it. It's not quite happened a great deal in our firm. It does happen, but you know, in the not too distant future, a client may say, look, I speak to all my friends and relatives on Skype. You know, it works quite well. It's not brilliant. But why do I have to come all the way into your office to have a chat? Can't you Skype me? I'll come in once, you know, and sign all the documents or do the ID and stuff. And business as well. You know, I think people now are trying to find reasons not to go travelling all around the place to meetings. And video conferencing takes a bit of getting used to, but I think, like everything, you know, when you have done it a few times, you can make it work. And to me, one of the biggest areas is just getting rid of paper, and that has massive advantages. And I think one of the problems we have, and I came in from the world of commerce, took me a bit of getting used to, is trying to convince a lot of the partners first and then some of the senior lawyers to change the way they work. So going to a completely paperless environment has massive advantages, but is probably going to take some selling to achieve. So it is a big, big issue for anyone that is responsible for IT to be thinking about. So I've tried to come up with some solutions. Some of you may already have adopted them, some may be thinking about it, to try and have a process to have a chance of getting it right. And I think it's wise to have an IT strategy plan. The first thing it has to do is recognise that everything we do with the IT is designed to provide a service. It's not there to survive in its own right, and it's no use if it doesn't stay in touch with all of the departments of the firm. So it needs to be in line and probably follow behind the reviews and the producing of the firm-wide strategy and the departmental strategies for running, you know, their part of the law firm. It needs to have a fundamental paragraph at the beginning as, you know, who, you know, what are the component parts that you need to make it work in the first place? And you need to state there the commitment of the partners to resource it, to know that it can be a significant resource, and to be committed to finding the right solution, to state who is actually responsible for delivering the IT, and where your information source is going to be coming from. How are you going to be sure that you've understood enough about the application you're considering to bring it in, and the needs of your users? And then you can put down what your objectives are, what you're going to focus on. Is it converting to an electronic matter file to get rid of all that paper? to really make remote working viable and remote services like remote digital dictation viable? Is it going to be changing your communications? Is it going to be changing your server stack to a hosted or a cloud? All those good things can be listed, and we're talking about over the next 3, 4, 5 years perhaps in a strategy plan. And then the key actions that you know you need to take in the next 12 to 18 months to start to achieve it or to achieve it. And that's really deliberately short term because it has to be reviewed. You need to know how you're progressing with your actions. And then you can reset it, reproduce your strategy with the next set of actions. And really communicate that strategy plan. Don't keep it a trade secret. Certainly the partners need to have it. And it's a good idea for everyone in the firm to know there is one and know broadly what it's about. And factor in the need to gather information in. Today you can get a lot of information from the trade stands, but you need to be speaking regularly to your users, understand how it's working for them, and also, and I don't know how many people do it, get some independent expert opinion is probably my best advice. And there can be some resistance to doing that, especially if you have an in-house IT team. Avoid what you don't need. Again, just a few tips. I find that sometimes the people that tell me most vigorously what they need turns out to be a nice to have. You mustn't be deflected from your strategy. What you invest in and what you put time in implementing has to be in line with the firm's strategy. It has to be the things that will take the firm the furthest. They have to be the most straightforward things to implement. And quite often, what department heads say I must have is actually what they heard Joe Bloggs, LLP, around the corner has. And it looks good, it sounds good. And also be aware of what I call the bleeding edge. Getting a product that's still under development, hasn't quite been finished off, and you're part of the approval and guinea pig process of making it work. And vaporware is very similar. Buying an upgrade, a new product, based on all the statements that are being made about it, and actually not waiting until it's been used and has settled down and you can see it's got a proven track record. Also, upgrading to new things like Microsoft 2010. You know, it might sound a great thing, let's do it now, but you've got to be careful because your other applications, they may still be developing them to work with 2010. So everything really needs to be coordinated. And of course, getting it wrong is a massive distraction and cost. And I was trying to think of good examples. And then I remembered what happened when I tried to renew my practicing certificates this year. You haven't forgotten, have you? Do you know my favourite relaxing song and tune that I used to play on my own guitar sometimes was Albatross. They played that while you're in line, and I heard it so much that I can't bear to listen to it anymore now. And again, avoiding what you don't need, it's good to take advice. You know, try to make sure it's not biased in any way. But you know, it is so complicated now. We don't need to be experts in IT. Even if we're passionately interested in IT, I think we ought to be very careful about pretending we know enough about it to make some of these decisions. The right level of investment is all about, as I said, not avoiding the nice to haves. You know, make sure you know it's going to make things more efficient, that you've got a good capital payback period. You know that it's going to add value. Maybe you know it's going to make life easier, particularly in the compliance area. The SRA handbook regulations are getting quite onerous. The way they want to manage and regulate law firms, they're going to need lots more data from law firms. And having systems that will produce it at the touch of a button is going to be quite useful, because otherwise I think it's going to get quite labour-intensive trying to dig information out. If you have Lexel, that's a bit of an advantage. And have systems that support your business continuity plan. And right timing is crucial. Don't go in too early and don't, you know, leave it too late. It's easy for me to say that, but that's our job, isn't it? We manage things. And it's easy to overspec your product, isn't it? or underspec it. So be very careful that you understand exactly what you want the product to do. And getting it right is an enormous enabler. It really does sell itself if you invest in the right kit, the right applications. If it's easy to use, works well, you will never sell it to everyone. Maybe some of you have still got that lawyer who's working in the background whose secretary does all their email for them. The other thing, of course, is you have to be careful who's making the decisions. And I'm trying not to offend anyone here, but sometimes if the decision is taken by the person holding the purse strings, there could be pressure to take the most cost-effective or the cheapest solution, and that may or may not be the best solution. And drive a hard bargain, it's always worth, if it's a big ticket capital cost to, do a bit of negotiating. Also look at ways of funding it. I was quite surprised when I joined the law firm world about 8 years ago to find out how much was bought in cash. Where I came from, everything was leased, rented, you hung on to every bit of cash you could, but all the photocopiers we had were all bought, capital. You paid your PI insurance in cash. Maybe those days have gone a bit for a lot of firms. But, you can find good ways of financing very expensive kit. Can be tax efficient as well, which I'm not going to go into. Haven't mentioned this yet, and I know a lot of you have got in-house teams, but has anyone outsourced their IT? I think it's a big issue if you have an in-house IT team, and it's difficult. They know their stuff, dedicated, salt-of-the-earth characters. They work every hour God gave them between 9 to 5, except lunch. And when I joined Parasmith, I bet if I asked most of the partners who the most essential person was in the whole firm, they would have said the IT manager. Absolutely dependable. The last person that you could think of doing without. But I think, things have changed. We're not 9 to 5 anymore. And increasingly, I think lawyers want to be like that. They don't want to be in an office necessarily. They don't want to be tied to things by wires. They want to work whenever they want to. And you can't have an IT team following them around. What's the solution? Well, I think I spent 2.5 years trying to convince the partners that things were getting shaky, that we were at risk because things are so complex. It's unreasonable, was my argument, to put so much pressure on one person, the poor IT manager, who does their best. But there are now, probably in every region, very competent experts. And they have disciplines in every area you need. Help desk, 24/7 server support, remote fixing, strategists, application developers. And you can tap into that whenever you need it. With an IT manager, you're paying for that person to be there all the time. They tend increasingly to have to get expert consultancy in anyway. If they bring in something like Citrix or changing to a completely different platform. And increasingly, the IT manager is having to, if they're not, to make decisions like, should we go to the cloud? And if an IT manager believes that the best thing for the firm is to go to the cloud, they're practically signing their own death warrant. So are they going to leave that decision for as long as they can, find other ways of doing things? And TaylorMade, which helped to sell them to us, actually have about 20 law firms that they provide their services to. They look after 6,000 devices through their monitoring system, and they have about 400 clients in total. So they are a massive, massive resource. So, ways of making sure we can get a return on our investment. If you haven't outsourced your IT, or even if you have, if you've had an outsourced solution for some time, or if you've got an in-house team, why not get an independent expert to come and audit it? And I suggested this in 2007, and all hell broke loose. The IT manager, the IT team were all, don't you trust us? What's happening? This is the thin end of the wedge. And I said, look, our accounts have been audited since the year dot. We've got nothing to hide in our accounts. Our lawyers are audited, if you like, by Lexel. They have to show the Lexel assessor how they case manage their work. Just about everything else in the firm has been audited and checked in some way, except IT, the most important part of keeping everything together. And actually, the first audit was quite good. They ticked a lot of boxes and came up with some useful, you know, additional ways of improving things. But it's a good way of getting, you know, an idea of where you stand, you know, how things are. Talk to all your users. That's, you know, essential, and I think that can be missed. You know, make sure that things are working well. They also have an idea of what's coming around the corner. They talk to their colleagues, they network. Manage your manager if you have an IT manager. He used to tell me regularly, we have a two-hour fix. Every call to help desk gets fixed within 2 hours. Most of them get fixed immediately. And you know what? I thought that was fantastic. My independent auditors said, on average, we get 3 calls a day. I'd be disappointed if they didn't fix them within 2 hours, if they only get 3 help desk calls a day. So there can be some smoke and mirrors. You need to get behind the scenes. Challenge politely what they say. If they say we should do this, say why. Get into it. If they say something costs X, say why. Understand who they're taking advice from. My IT manager every year was spending more and more on an expert consultant, and increasingly this third-party consultant was actually coming in and telling them how to do it. And it's difficult because genuinely they were nice guys, you know, and it was a very hard decision to persuade the partners to take. So look for the processes. I think ABSs are going to be really good at this, and I think this is where the smoke and mirrors can be on the lawyer's side. I think lawyers like to say what I do is too complex to be a process, but I think the ABSs are going to take quite complex legal work and break it down into processes, and they'll use the partner, the solicitor, the expensive bit as in as small and a discreet way as they can get away with. And the rest of it they're going to have done by lower level personnel and through systems and automation. And I think increasingly we've got to open that up somehow and get partners to realise they shouldn't do the whole thing. They should just do the bits that they're really needed to do. And that'll make the whole thing more economic and make you more competitive. And use technology to support outsourcing other services and reduce your overhead. That's what it's all about, I think, increasingly. Using IT to reduce costs, using innovations such as digital dictation to use outsourced digital dictation services, not necessarily employing secretaries to do all of your support. Getting those services, you know, in the evenings and at weekends to supplement your in-house secretarial resource. Essentially, you need to back the right horse and then make it work hard, make it work long before you need to change and reinvest.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from Legal Support Network. To find out more about LSN and to find more of our great content, visit www.legalsupportnetwork.co.uk.